Isaiah, the 50th chapter and the 10th verse, it says, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant?" Now, let me share with you what that word obey means. The word ob means to go toward. Isaiah 1:19 says, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Now, willing means with enthusiasm. If you worship the Lord with enthusiasm, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, they want to know, what is the greatest commandment? They asked Jesus. He said, the first and greatest commandment is that you worship the Lord. That you worship the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. Everybody has the Ten Commandments. What's the first and greatest commandment? Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to worship the Lord, and the commandments were to bring us to Christ, to let you know you can't keep them. Amen. I didn't hear too many people say amen. That's why the commandments were put in the Ark of the Covenant. First thing Moses did when he came down off the mount with the Ten Commandments was he received an offering. That ain't very spiritual, is it? Received an offering to build the Ark. That's what the offering was for. And he received that offering to put the Ark, build the Ark, and to put the commandments, the pot of manna, and Aaron's rod, which represents resurrection power. And that manna represents a divine supply. Now you know that if you kept the manna over for one day, that it would rot and it would stink. But this manna God kept, it said they put the pot of manna in the ark with the commandments and with Aaron's rod. So it says, if those that fear the Lord, that obey the voice, in other words, that go toward the voice. You say, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to obey you? What's the first and greatest commandment, Jesus? Worship the Lord. That's the first and greatest commandment. That's all God wanted from you from the beginning. If he wanted you to keep rules and regulations, he wouldn't have given you the freedom of choice to begin with. And the first one that started all this was Lucifer, and he said, I've got the doctrine of perfection. If you eat of the tree of knowledge, you'll be like God. He was the first one to introduce the doctrine of perfection, and that was Lucifer. He said, you will be like God. And a lot of people got so much knowledge that they're going to be like God. You're not going to be like God. But when you see him, when that change takes place and the mortal man puts on immortality, then you're going to be like him. Can you say amen? I said, when you see him, when are you going to see him? In the twinkling of an eye, when the mortal man puts on immortality. And what does that word twinkling mean, Kevin?
The word moment.
Hmm?
Moment.
Didn't you say it has to do something with genes?
The word moment, when you talk about change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that word moment comes from the word atom. That means can't be measured. The very atoms of our body, the molecules, are going to be changed.
Going to be changed. That word moment means what, Kevin, in the
comes
moment?
From the Greek, it means atom, A-T-O-M.
It means an atom. Explain that to us.
It means it's going to happen so quick, it can't be measured by man. And it has to do with your atoms and your molecules, that this body that's mortal is going to become immortal in the blink of an eye.
Ah! Can you say hallelujah? We're going to be changed. Then when we see him, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be like him. So it says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant? Ob means to go toward. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you go toward the voice, if you worship the Lord, you will eat the good of the land. You know what's going to happen to you folks that are here at Mountain Movement Service? You're going to eat the good of the land. Who is among you that fears the Lord? That word fear means understanding. It doesn't mean that you go around, that you're serving an awesome God.
Yes.
The God of creation, when you look out into the universe, say, my God, how great thou art. Those that have an understanding of an awesome God, how insignificant you are in God's plan and all that he has created, and yet he's mindful of us. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we that God is mindful of us? Amen. Who is among you that understands the awesomeness of the Lord? That obeys the voice of his servant. That you go toward that voice. But then it says, you walk in darkness and you have no light. What is he saying? What is Isaiah saying? Isaiah is saying there are times though you serve the Lord and you know how great he is and how awesome he is, and that you have the understanding, you go toward the voice, there's going to be times in your life you're going to be in darkness and you're going to feel there's no way out. But he said, there's going to be times that you obey the voice, but you walk in darkness and you have no light. There's no way out. You're in the midst of a storm. You ever been in a fog? Did you ever just drive down the road all of a sudden? You're in the midst of a fog? Your headlights are not helping you because it's a reflection off the fog. So, and you're in darkness. You have no light. There is no way out. So what do you do when you have that problem? David said in Psalms 56 and 3, when what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When I am afraid, when there's no way out, and that word trust means I'm going to lean on the Lord. Hallelujah. When there is no way out, what time I am afraid, I am going to trust in thee. And he says in the fourth verse, in God I will praise his word, in Psalms 56 and 4. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He said, I am going to praise his word.
Yes.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. So that's what it means. You go toward the voice. That's what obedience is. Look up the word obe in the dictionary. It means to go toward. Doesn't mean keeping a set of church rules and regulations and doctrines. That isn't what it's talking about. Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say love your neighbor better than yourself.
Nope.
Don't love your neighbor better, because if you love your neighbor better than yourself, then there's something wrong with you. It says love your neighbor as thyself. There are some neighbors want to take advantage of you. Hello? So you don't love them better than yourself. Love them as yourself. But the ones that want to take advantage of yourself, then you have enough sense to get away with them. Get away from them. So he says, love thy neighbor as yourself. You know what the biggest problem is in the world today? People don't love themselves. The church teaches you, you've got to hate the flesh. No, I love my flesh. The Apostle Paul says, no man ever yet hateth his own flesh. If you hate your flesh, they got a place where they put you. If you hate your flesh, you got a problem. Here's what it says in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. 29 verse, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but you nourish it and you cherish it even as the Lord the church. Don't tell me you don't love your flesh. Look at the clothes you put on. Look at the hairdos you go and get. Look at the hairdos you buy.
Yes.
Look at the money that is spent on cosmetics. It says here, no man ever yet hates his own flesh. But there are those that teach you gotta hate yourself in order to love God. No, the Lord says, love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you're not gonna love your neighbor. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but you nourish it, you cherish it, even as the Lord the church. If you don't love yourself, how do you expect God to love you? People that don't love themselves can't get along with people. How do you expect to get along with God? The Dead Sea is dead because it don't have an outlet. And there's a lot of folks that are dead because they don't have an outlet. And that's why they die before their time. So Paul said, you take care of yourself in the 29th verse, even as the Lord the church. We are members of Massapequa Tabernacle. Anyone says. We are members of the Catholic Church. Anyone says. We're members of the synagogue. It says, we are members, Ephesians 5:30, of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Oh, hallelujah. You getting that? You're a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, let's go back to Isaiah. It says, you walk in darkness, but you obey the voice, you go to the voice, you have an understanding of God. But there seems there's no way out. You're in the midst of a storm like the disciples are. And here they were fearful. And Jesus told them they were going to make it to the other side. That's why he was sleeping. But they didn't listen. And even in their fear, I know the church goes around teaching you, oh, God ain't given us the spirit of fear. We don't live in the spirit of fear, but there's times fear is going to take hold of you.
Yep.
Don't tell me, if you don't have fear, how do you think you learn that if you touch a match, you're going to get burnt? There has to be an understanding that if you jump out of a window, you're going to hurt yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? There has to be an understanding of fear. But there are those that go around and say, oh no. No, when you know the Lord, the disciples were afraid. Tell you, oh, God ain't going to hear your prayer. Don't call on the Lord. You got to get rid of that. They called on Jesus and Jesus got up and rebuked the storm. Some people are afraid, well, God ain't going to hear my prayer. I've just sinned. Well, you've sinned if you didn't call upon his name. You know what he says in Hebrews? He says that he runs when you call upon his name, that he runs to your aid. Huh? Listen to this. In Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, and the 18th verse, it says, for in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. You know what the word succor means? That word succor in the Greek means run to your aid. Some people have read that for years and they don't bother to look up the word succor means. It says, he himself suffered being tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means to run to your aid. When you're in trouble, When you're being tried, when all of hell is against you, that's what it's saying. When you call on the Lord, he don't walk. He says he runs to your aid. Can someone say praise the Lord? In Hebrews 2:16, he didn't take on him the nature of angels. God did not come to save angels. He didn't come to save Lucifer. Some people are under the impression there's going to be a great revival. Everybody's going to get saved. Mm-hmm. No, the devil and his crowd are not going to get saved. Now, if you don't believe the devil has a congregation, turn on your television and pick up your newspaper. The devil has his congregations. Mm-hmm. See what's going on in Florida if you don't believe the devil has a church. He didn't come. Didn't take on him the nature of angels. Didn't come to save fallen angels. Because Lucifer knew the truth. And the word of God said there is one sin that's unpardonable. And the unpardonable sin is when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And that's what Lucifer did, the closest to the throne of God. He blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Was going to exalt his throne above the Lord, and God cast him out. But he didn't come to save fallen angels. He didn't take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of fallen man, of Abraham. What is man that God is mindful of you? That's how much God loves you, that he runs to your aid. Mm-hmm. I said, you're important today. I didn't say impotent. I said important.
Amen.
How's that read, Kevin, in Hebrews 2:16?
We all know he did not come as an angel, but as a human being, yes, a Jew. 17th verse. And it was necessary for Jesus to be like us, his brothers, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God.
Hey! Go to sleep at night. Because the Lord is making intercession for you. Mm-hmm. You getting that? Worrying about something going to change anything. He's our what, Kevin?
He is our merciful and our faithful high priest.
He's our what?
Merciful and faithful high priest.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Before God.
Yeah.
A priest who would be both merciful to us and faithful to God in dealing with the sins of the people.
Oh, hallelujah. When the devil comes to accuse you before the Father, Jesus stands up, says, devil, step back. They're covered by the blood.
Amen.
I shed my blood that they might have life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Devil comes and he tries to call your name, but you're covered by the blood. You got a new name. We sing there's a new name written down in glory. The devil can't have your new name. Can you say amen? You're a child of the King. God gave you a new name. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white robe angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. So in the 18th verse, in Hebrews, the second chapter, for in that he himself suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And that word succor means God runs to your aid. Everybody say, help!
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 What does a lifeguard do? Say, what religion are you? He jumps in the water. He don't ask what religion you are. Open your understanding to what's going on in the world. Do you know there's only four places in the New Testament where hallelujah is mentioned? There's only four places in the New Testament. You know what's talking about? The great whore. And the great whore is the church. What's a whore? Brings forth illegitimate children. They don't know who the father is. We got a lot of illegitimate children in church that don't know who their father is. They just go through the ritual. That's what you're dealing with in religion. But if you go toward the voice, and you're in darkness, and you don't see any light, if you'll trust in the Lord, He will bring you out. Can you say hallelujah? You trust in the Lord. There's only four times in the whole New Testament where the word hallelujah is mentioned. And the word hallelujah, I may mention Sunday, means praise ye the Lord. Every time you say hallelujah, you are saying praise ye the Lord. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Some of you have been saying hallelujah for years. You don't even know what it means. Now you know. Say thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome. I just found out myself too. You're always learning. Aren't you always learning?
Yep.
You don't know it all. You're always learning. But there are some people ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's what Paul said. He said there are those that are ever learning, because it has to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. This can't be taught to you by man. I'm just throwing truth out there. You can plant seed, but if the sun don't shine and the rain don't come, that seed is not going to grow. So you need that sun represents the Holy Ghost. You say amen, fire. Everybody say fire.
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 The rain, the water, the word of God purifies, gives you understanding. So you don't have the fire, you don't have the understanding, the word. I say you're not going to get it. You need the rain. You need the Lord to freshness in your life. There's only one place in all of the New Testament where hallelujah is mentioned, and it's mentioned four times, and that's in one chapter, and that one chapter, Revelation, the 19th chapter. What does it say, Kevin? Start with the first verse. Read from the King James.
And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah.
Praise you, the Lord. I heard a great voice. Go ahead.
Salvation.
You know where this was? This was in heaven. People that don't like noisy services are not going to be in heaven. Too noisy in Massapequa. Here it says, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah! Saying, praise ye the Lord, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. See, a lot of people forget that God is not love. What do you mean God is not love? No, God is a powerful God. Love is an attribute, but don't you associate God just as a figure of love. He's a God that has power. He's the God that rolled back the mighty Red Sea. He rolled back the waters. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one. And if God didn't have power, Lucifer would have taken over His throne. God is not a 90-pound weakling up in heaven. We make this picture of God one big ball of love up there. No, He's a God of power. He's a God of war. He's a man of war. And if God don't like what's going on, He'll send the flood and wipe you out. And He's done it. You're not allowed to do it, but God can do it. If He don't like the way things are going on, He'll send some fire and brimstone. Like He did in Sodom and Gomorrah, like He did in Noah's day, and sent the flood. I said, God don't mess around. God is a God of power.